We live, we love, we serve.
Matthew 26, verses 20 through 29, read as such. When it was evening, he took his place with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me." And they became greatly distressed and began to say to him one after another, "Surely not I, Lord." He answered him, "The one who has dipped his hand in the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one to not have been born." Judas, who betrayed him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." He replied, "You have said so." While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread. After blessing it, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of their sins. I tell you, I will never drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Let us go to God in prayer. God, we're grateful for this moment right now. We're grateful for Jesus and this sacred moment, the breaking of bread, drinking of the cup, God, the sacrifice that was made for us, God. Sometimes we don't know how great it is until we just look back over our lives and think of all the times we should have been up out of here. But yet, because of Jesus, here we are and here we stand. Because of his sacrifice, here we are and here we stand. Because he was willing to not be selfish in that moment, here we are and here we stand. So once again, God, be in this moment. Let your word flow in this moment. Somebody is here today because they still need a word from you. During this Holy Week, there's no week better to hear a word from you, God. So show up and show out in this moment, God, and I will simply get out the way and let you go to work. It's in your name we pray. We say amen. 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 Y'all may be seated. For the 10 minutes I have or so, I simply want to talk about the table before the cross. The table before the cross. Family, there are moments in life where you know things are about to change. Your family may not sense it, your friends may not feel it coming, and nobody in the same room as you knows it, but you do. And this is certainly one of those moments. Here the disciples are eating, drinking, talking, and laughing amongst themselves, and to them this is just another ordinary dinner. But for Jesus, this is the last one. Because while they are busy eating and enjoying themselves, Jesus is carrying something heavy. He knows his last days are coming. He knows his betrayal is in motion. He knows denial is on the way. He knows the pain that's coming is inescapable. He knows the cross is coming. But here's what stuns me, family. Knowing all of this, he still sits down. In the midst of betrayal, he sits down. With denial on the horizon, he sits down, knowing the pain is coming, knowing hardship is coming, knowing that there are so many more bad days ahead of him, but yet, he sits down. Can I ask you something, family? What do you do in those moments? What do you do when you know something is about to break? What do you do when you know something is about to hurt? What do you do when you know a change you don't want is coming? What do you do when life is not playing fair with you? Do you pull away from people? Do you shut it all down to get away from it all? Maybe you do what you got to do to protect the little piece that you have. But Jesus pulls up a chair and sits down. The text says, when it was evening, he took his place with the 12. This wasn't random. This wasn't an accidental moment that happened to be created. This was intentional. When everything was telling Jesus to run away, Jesus chooses proximity. When everything said leave, Jesus chose presence. When everything said get out, Jesus chose love. Jesus chose his people, because before the cross came, there was a table. Before the suffering, there was presence. There was fellowship. Before there was a sacrificial lamb. Before it all, there was connection. And I need you to hear this right now, because before God saves you, God will simply sit with you right where you are. Now, let's be honest, family, because this is important. Because everybody who Jesus chose to sit down with ain't have it all together. Judas is there, and Jesus knows what he's about to do. Peter is there. Jesus already called out his denial, and let's not forget the rest who he said will disappear when things get hard. But yet, Jesus sits down with them. Jesus sits down with them and serves them. He breaks bread with people who are about to hurt him. He pours wine for those who are about to walk away from him. And here is the impressive part, because some of us in here would not do that. Some of us, if we're being honest, have cursed people out for way less. If we were at the table in this moment, some of us would have told them to get up off our table. Some of us would have never invited them in the first place. Some of us would have waited and exposed them in front of everybody for everybody to see. Some of us would have simply just avoided the table completely. But Jesus, he shows us what love is. Jesus sits down. And that's a different type of love. That's a love that we don't sometimes understand. It's not a love that's convenient. It's not a conditional love. It's not a love that's comfortable. It's a love that's just present. That's a love that you need to consistently work on and work with. That's a love that shows commitment. And that's the type of love that Jesus shows that goes beyond what we see from day to day. Jesus then takes the bread and he breaks it. And while breaking it, he says, "This is my body given for you, not earned by you. Not because of your accolades, not because of your accomplishments, not because you have it all together, not because you deserve it, not because of your good deeds, not because you checked every box, not because you live perfectly. No, simply given for you. Given when you were at your best and given when you were at your worst. Given when you were faithful and given when you were inconsistent. Given when you showed up strong and given when you barely could show up at all. Because if it had to be earned, we would never qualify. If it had to be deserved, we would never be enough. If it had to be perfection, we would never arrive. But thanks be to God, it's not based on what you did. It's not based on what you're doing. It's not based on what you might do. It's based on what God decided. He decided to love you. He decided to choose you. He decided to give himself for you, not because you earned it, not because you deserve it, but because grace does what effort could never do. Then he takes the cup, family. This is the new covenant. In other words, I'm about to do something for you that you could never do for yourself. I'm about to cover what you cannot fix. I'm about to restore what you could not repair on your own. I'm about to redeem what you cannot reach, because some things in life you can't work your way out of. Some things in life you can't pray for perfection. You can't discipline your way into wholeness. You need grace. And they don't even understand it sitting there at the table. They don't even know what's going on. They're confused. They're trying to make sense of it. He's saying, but... You need grace in this moment. The disciples don't really get this. They're confused, trying to make sense of what he's saying. These are inconsistent people, as we all can be, hot one moment, cold the next. The disciples are too incomplete like we are, not fully formed, not really ready, not really there. But yet, Jesus doesn't pause the moment. Jesus doesn't wait at the table. Jesus doesn't try to push him away. Instead, what does Jesus do? In the midst of all those folk who don't seem perfect, he keeps passing the cup. He keeps offering himself. He keeps extending that grace. And without even saying the words right now out loud, his actions are saying, stay here at the table. Stay when you don't understand. Stay when you don't feel worthy. Stay when you know you have some growing to do. Stay when your faith is feeling shaky. Stay when your heart is heavy. Stay when your life feels unfinished, because what I'm about to do in you, you don't even fully see. Yet what I'm building in you, you don't even understand. Right now, what I've called you to, you're not fully ready for yet, but stay anyway. Stay anyway. Because the power of the table is not that you have it all together, it's that you're still there while God is putting you together. And what does that mean, family? That means you don't have to have it all together. Just stay at the table. You don't have to understand everything. Just stay at the table. You don't have to be perfect. Just stay at the table, because the table is not about performance. The table is once again about grace. Because don't miss this. At the table, the same hands that passed the bread are the same hands that would be nailed to the cross. The same voice that said, take and eat, would be the same voice to cry out, it is finished. Which means, family, the table wasn't separate from the cross. The table was preparation for the cross. So here's what I need you to understand. Don't miss your moment at the table because you're focused on your mistakes. Don't disqualify yourself, because guess what? You're still growing. Don't walk away from the table because you don't think you're ready, because Jesus already knew these things about those closest to him. And yet, Jesus sat at the table. The table is the proof that God doesn't wait for you to get it together. God sits with you while you're still becoming. While you're still growing, God's sitting with you. While you're still healing, God is sitting with you. While you're still figuring it out, God is sitting with you. When your faith is strong some days, God is sitting with you. When your faith is shaky on others, God is sitting with you. When your faith is not existent, God is still sitting with you. God pulls up a chair and has a seat. When you're consistent one week, God is sitting with you. When you're struggling the next, God is sitting with you. God is still making room for you in spite of all your struggles. While you're praying and doubting at the same time, believing and questioning at the same time, showing up and barely holding on at the same time, God is still sitting with you. God doesn't leave you in those moments. God stays. God doesn't rush you. God stays. God doesn't shame you. God stays. God doesn't walk away from you. God stays, because the table was never meant for people who had it all together. The table was for people who were just simply willing to stay. And if you can just stay at the table, if you can just keep showing up, if you can just keep your heart open, if you can simply keep living, loving, and serving, grace will meet you there. Mercy will find you there, and love will hold you there. Be open to sometimes going against what you would normally do. Be open, family. Pull up a chair and sit at the table.